Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I am going to respectfully disagree with the hymn that we just sung. It says, "Let go of anger, for it is a sin." I believe that anger is an emotion which we have. Anger is an emotion which tells us, according to the standard that we have, whatever that standard might be, that things are not right. What we do with anger makes all the difference in the world. Once I was angry, and I took a shovel and dug up our garden in 3 seconds. I could have taken that same shovel and smashed a window with it. It's what you do with the anger that makes a difference in the world. I do not believe that anger is a sin. That's all I'm going to say about that right now. I'm supposed to preach a sermon. The text is the Old Testament reading for today, where he says, "I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it." Sounds real good. Nothing like going to a nice restaurant and getting a nice meal. The meat or fish cooked to perfection, and the vegetables and the potatoes, and some people, baked potato with sour cream, butter, onion, and chives. Oh! What a meal! That's good! This is what God is offering to us, good things. He's offering to the people of Israel, "I have set before you life and good, death and evil." He is saying that all you have to do is love the Lord your God and keeping his commandments. God wants us to have good things and enjoy good things. The only problem is that sometimes, in order to find good things, we'll take a slight shortcut. The problem with shortcuts is that they tend to get us into trouble. You are depressed, and your doctor says, "Oh, I've got a medication here for you. Take this. It'll help you." And you're depressed, and you take that pill, and all of a sudden, yeah, you don't feel so bad after all. The next day, you know, "Oh, I'm down just a little bit. Well, but I'll take another pill, and I'll feel good about that." And then the next day, you take another pill, and the next thing you know, you're hooked on that medicine. Or you take a drink, and a drink of alcohol, and, "Oh, you know, relaxing, I feel good." And so the before dinner drink becomes the before dinner drink, the after dinner drink, and then before I go to bed drink. And then when I'm at work, well, maybe a drink will help me solve the problem here at work or here at school or whatever. And so all of a sudden, instead of good things, it's bad things. It's because we take the shortcuts, and God is not in that equation, that we wind up doing the wrong thing. And we have, instead of life, we have death. You have probably heard of people who have died of a drug overdose and have died, or to the alcoholic whose liver doesn't work anymore and they die of sclerosis of the liver. It happens. The thing is that you and I also are guilty of taking shortcuts. We take shortcuts to good things and we wind up not getting good at all. It's because of our human condition that we are sinners. Our heart turns away, we do not hear, we are drawn away to other gods. We may not call them other gods, but because we go after them ourselves, for ourselves, that's the same thing as going after another god. Because we have left God out, he is not there in the situation. And we are somewhat like the, maybe some of you have seen the movie Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And in the picture there is a lady who comes to the cabin for the dwarves, and she says, "Here, honey, I have an apple for you. It's a pretty apple. See how nice and red it is? Please, take and eat." It looks good. It tasted good, but it had bad effects for Snow White. and the same trouble that you and I face. We see things, we think they're good, they are good, but because we don't do it God's way, and God is not involved in seeking that good, we wind up getting a poisoned apple, and we sin, and we die. And you're not the only one who's ever faced that. There was this young carpenter from Nazareth. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." I'm lucky to make it from supper till breakfast without getting hungry and wanting something to eat. I mean, a nice snack around 9, 10 o'clock, you know, that's not bad. 40 days and 40 nights, it says he was hungry. That's the understatement of the century. He was hungry. And you know that if you go out and you're in a field where there are a lot of stones, some of them have been worn by the weather, and they look just like dinner rolls. They're the same size, the same shape. And so this fellow comes up to Jesus and says, "Hey, you say you're the Son of God. Okay, if you're the Son of God, take these stones and make them into bread." He didn't take the shortcut. Jesus said, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus could have stayed in heaven and enjoyed all the beauties of heaven and everything. Let mankind be on its own. But Jesus loved us. He didn't take a shortcut. He became a human being. He lived among us. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He needed sleep. And so he was hungry. And yet was tempted to take the shortcut. Take these stones and make them into bread. He says, "No, I'm going to do it the long way. Take my Father's will." The Father's will was that he live among us and to go on a cross and die for our sins. He took the hard way. He took the long way. As Hannah so aptly stated, the greatest love that has ever been shown to the world was on that cross. Because God's Son, God's only Son, whom he loved, died for you and for me. Because we take shortcomings, and he didn't. He didn't take the shortcut. He went the way of the cross. And he died for you and for me. And so I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. There's good food out there. God provides it for us. Did you know that in most cases, it takes about 9 months for a child to develop to the state where it can be born and be among us as a human being? 9 months. It takes time. It takes time when we are fed by God. It takes time to grow in our Christian faith. That's why he gives us things to help us to grow. Ever hear of water? In the waters of baptism, you were made a child of God. And when you wash your face, when you take a shower, when you press that washcloth against your face, you know that God has made you his child through the water of baptism. And you are his, and he loves you and cares for you. Whenever you go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac, or Arby's, or Burger King, or wherever you want to go, or you can go to Longhorn Steakhouse and get a roll with your meal, get some fresh bread with your meal. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." It is he who comes to us, who feeds us, who sustains us, who says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." In the gospel reading, Jesus says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, to cut it off and throw it away. It is better to you to lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell." My professor at the seminary wrote a book on Matthew. And in that book, he said, Jesus is not looking for a society of mutilated martyrs. He does not want Christians going around with hands cut off or eyes plucked out. He is pointing out the fact that sin is serious. Sin is serious, and that when we don't do it, when we take the shortcut, we're leading to sin and death. But he also says, I'm providing you good food. I am with you always to feed you, to sustain you. You have God's word. You have the sacraments. You have the Bible that you can read. You have the fellowship of fellow Christians to encourage you on your way. You have, when you come to the altar to receive Christ's body and blood, you receive the strengthening of your faith. It's an ongoing process, but it's a good process because God is behind it and God is in it and God is there to be with you, to see you through. And so, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days. We have the choice of life or death. Unfortunately, we have made the wrong choice all too often, but God is there with his love and forgiveness to give us that good food that we may live with him, grow in him, and live with him now and forever. Hold on to the good in Jesus Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. We continue our worship now with the offering and rite of friendship. Please be sure to sign that red friendship register and pass it along, please.